This is a Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We dive into strange tales reported on by Odyssey's radio newsrooms from coast to coast. I'm your Roundup host, Lauren Berry. What makes America, America? Is it ranch dressing? Lobster? Or potato chips? Is it our old buildings? Our literature? Our comedy? Well, you know, it's probably all of the above, and more, of course. In this Independence Day weekend episode, we're focused on America, American history, and the nation's 250th anniversary, starting with the lobster-filled shores of New England, and a historical site in Michigan that's been standing since the early days of the country. Our first stop, the Maine Maritime Museum. Kelly and Bob Phillips of Own the Road with Kelly and Bob out of Odyssey Station KRLD 1080 in Dallas visited the museum to talk about Maine history, lobster, and more for their America 250 tour of the country.
Everybody knows the state of Maine is famous for its lobster. But did you know just how deep that story really is?
Well, we found out when we visited the Maritime Museum in the town of Bath.
When you're eating lobster in Maine, you know that you're getting it the freshest possible. You can get lobster at a steakhouse in Texas probably, but you're probably going to be paying more for it, and it's probably not going to be nearly as fresh as it would be if you were here. We have these lobster pounds where you're literally on the pier where the boats are coming in, and then you're just eating it. It's really an incredible experience to enjoy a Maine lobster here, right here on the water.
That's Amanda Plo. She's the marketing and communications manager at the Maine Maritime Museum.
Amanda was born and raised in this state and might just be its biggest proponent, for sure. Amanda loves Maine.
But what were we talking about?
You mentioned lobster.
Lobster.
Or lobster. How do you say it?
Well, I say lobster, but you can also say lobster.
Tell us about the importance of that, because those of us from other places, especially the farther away from Maine that you get, we revere Maine lobsters.
Lobster is hugely important to Maine. It's both part of our working waterfront. We do have fishermen who are actively making a living fishing for lobster. The industry has changed quite a bit over the years in terms of the improvements to the equipment, but also the safety of the equipment. It used to be that you could practically throw a rock and hit a lobster. Lobsters were incredibly abundant on the coast of Maine. There is an urban legend that there is a note in the Maine law that prisoners in Maine are not allowed to eat lobster more than once a week. Maine is special because of all of our natural resources. And we have this gorgeous rocky coastline. We have these incredible forests, amazing waterways. And around these resources, we have really built something special. We have these adorable Maine coastal villages. We have the tradition of going up to camp. People come to Maine for respite and relaxation. We are vacation land. That's what we're known for. And so I think there is a little bit of that ethos for a lot of people who actually live here. We have this slogan, Maine, the way life should be.
Lobster, it seems, is a much bigger deal to those of us who do not live in Maine than it is to those who do. Here, it's something that's always there and always fresh and always good. And that leaves the rest of us just wishing that we had what they have here in Maine.
But as it turns out, that's true for a lot of stuff about this state. Maine is natural and beautiful and mostly coastal. And that has led to incredible opportunities for industry here for a long time. Things like the largest wooden schooners in the world, built right here in Bath, Maine.
So they built these huge schooners to ship coal between, you know, the late 1800s up through the early 1900s. They had these massive 400-foot schooner, and because they were able to raise and lower the mast of the ship with a donkey engine, they only needed 14 people aboard the ship. So a teeny tiny bit of energy for the engine and then 14 crew, and you could ship an incredible amount of coal using just wind power. So people made a lot of money off of shipbuilding here. At one point, Bath, Maine was the fourth busiest port on the eastern seaboard. They have a whole customs house downtown. It was wild. It was shipyard after shipyard after shipyard after shipyard. You know, this incredible shipbuilding industry here going back generations. And so one of the things that is kind of interesting about Bath specifically is that we are still this city of ships, and that we still have this ship manufacturing that's a big part of our identity.
As we head out of Maine with the smell of salt air in the breeze, we're going now to the Great Lakes. There, historic Fort Wayne in Detroit, on the Detroit River, near the shores of Lake Erie, has been woven into the fabric of American history for hundreds of years. And it's had some interesting uses along the way. For Odyssey Station WWJ News Radio's America 250 series, Chris Villar recently spoke with historic Fort Wayne manager Brenna Grace Donahue about the site's past and its present.
Historic Fort Wayne. I don't know if people realize, you know, just how amazing it is to have that there and kind of its part in the city of Detroit in history, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but that has been there longer than the United States has been a country, correct?
Absolutely. So when we think about historic Fort Wayne, it has an incredible and layered history that reaches back long before the founding of our nation. Aside from the establishment of the federal military site here at Fort Wayne, this area is home to the Detroit region's last remaining Native American burial mound. This mound's presence reminds us that this land carries great significance beyond the time that our country was founded and the fort itself, dating back thousands of years to when this land sustained life and served as an important gathering place for Native American communities.
Yeah, could you kind of just kind of go over how the fort was originally used when it first came about, you know, back in the early 1700s?
So the United States Congress authorized the construction of Fort Wayne in the 1840s as a part of a broader effort to fortify and secure the U.S.-Canada border. And the irony is that following the fort's construction, the site never actually experienced any active conflict. Instead, over the years, from the 1840s to the 1860s, it remained quite quiet here at Fort Wayne. And it wasn't until 1861, a few weeks after the Civil War began, that the fort received its first troops. And it became a major training and induction site from that point forward through all the major conflicts that the United States was involved in through the Vietnam War.
You know, talk to me about the site's role in the eventual evolution of it turning into the city of Detroit. I saw a lot of good information about what it was doing for the city in the 60s with refugees and displaced Detroiters. Can you kind of just talk to me about, you know, that gradual transformation from the site as the city of Detroit kind of, I don't know if I want to say engulfed it, but, you know, it just became the city, just its role in that transformation into the actual city of Detroit.
Yeah. Through the 1840s, through the 1870s, the U.S. government completed three separate transfers where they deeded parts of the site to the city of Detroit. And so by 1976, aside from a small portion near the Detroit River that is maintained as a United States Army Corps of Engineers site, the entire campus was officially transferred over to the city of Detroit. And so this was managed initially by the Detroit Historical Commission. And it's important to note the evolution of historic Fort Wayne, where we see moments in the city like the 1967 uprising, where the city of Detroit actually activates the fort as emergency housing to house folks that were displaced during that event in the city.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to Own the Road with Kelly and Bob out of KRLD 1080 in Dallas, WWJ News Radio in Detroit, KYW News Radio in Philadelphia, Jordana Green of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, and KCBS Radio in the Bay Area. You can find all of these programs and the Something Offbeat podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.